on the subject of the Holy Spirit. And understanding better the Holy Spirit and how He works through and in Christians today. We are spending some time on the special working and activities of the Holy Spirit in the apostles of Christ, as against how the Holy Spirit works in the ordinary Christian like you and me. It's very important that this be understood, because there is so much play. Said last week that there is hardly a denomination today that you do not hear men and women claiming to be apostles of Christ. Up front, I say to you, there is no one today who is really an apostle of Christ. No one. Because there are some criteria, there are some qualifications which in the Bible stipulate who is an apostle of Christ. And today, I'm hoping to continue among the last week was the fact that the apostles of Christ were eyes and ear witnesses of Jesus' personal ministry, of Jesus' resurrection, and of Jesus' ascension. Don't forget that. They were eyes and ear witnesses. It means that the apostles were men who personally heard Jesus Christ. That is literally the personal voice of Jesus Christ, not through an agent or an agency, but where Jesus Christ personally spoke in their hearing. That's one. That an apostle had to be one who, with his eyes, saw Jesus Christ after dead. Wait. Not one who saw Christ before he was resurrected. Because if you saw him before he was resurrected, you would not be a witness of the resurrection. In fact, on that point, we need to probably settle it in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Let us have it. Acts chapter 1. Let us hear verse 8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem.
Wait, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem
and in all Judea,
in Judea
and in Samaria,
Samaria and the utmost
part of the earth.
Now, step down to the last few verses. We are one going to be chosen to take Judas's place.
And they appointed two.
Read. You're right, dear brother, you're at the right spot.
Joseph called.
They appointed to Judas had betrayed Christ, sellout Christ, and lost his place. He was no more there. But you see, there need to be 12 apostles. So they are choosing one now to take Judas's place. Now, wait. They cannot choose just any and any disciple, as the text will show. So what they did, brother? Start.
Okay, I'm going to start at verse 20.
Thank you, brother.
For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate.
Let his habitation be desolate.
And let no man dwell therein.
And let no man dwell or occupy his habitation.
And his bishopric.
And his bishopric. The word bishop here is used. You know, one of the books I'm planning to write is one on church leadership. And this is a text I plan to sort of exhaust. The word bishopric here is used in a peculiar way, because the apostle, in their function as individual, were considered from this text bishop. The word is not used in its regular sense. And it's one of the texts that, you know, we need to understand. Let his office of bishop
another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us
notice
all the
here
time.
Notice here now. Choosing somebody to take Judas's place, it must be men from among men who have accompanied
with us
all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out. It
among
means
us.
That this person must have been a regular. Being around with Christ, witnessing all the miracles and the work Christ did. Yes, it cannot be just anybody. Read on.
Beginning from the baptism of John.
Uh-huh.
Unto that same day that he was taken up from us.
Watch here now.
Must one be ordained?
Wait. Are you watching with me and looking and listening? Must one be ordained?
To be a witness
to
with us.
To be A-W-I-T-N-E-S-S witness.
With us.
With us.
Of his resurrection.
Of his resurrection. Of his resurrection. Isn't that plain? Isn't that specific? This is one of the main qualifications of an apostle of Jesus Christ. Very important. Wait. When an apostle of Jesus Christ went out, he must be able to say, I have seen Jesus Christ. And when I tell you, the Bible makes a big thing out of Christ's resurrection. That's right. A big thing. In fact, the Bible tells us that it was by the resurrection of Jesus Christ that God proved that Christ was his son. And lots of other important things depended on the resurrection. So here, an apostle could not go out and say, somebody tell me that they saw him. Or I simply believe. An apostle must say, I know that he was resurrected. You see, brothers and sisters, this gave them bold conviction when they go out and preach the resurrection. Because The whole business of Christianity, as we look on, was it Wednesday night, that the Corinthians, who were denying the resurrection, the few there, the apostles show the chain reaction that thought carried. Must one be a witness of his resurrection? When Paul was defending his apostleship in Corinth, one of the first things he brought up, have I not seen the Lord? You all get it? An apostle must be not just a witness by faith, or a witness by hearing what others say. He must be a witness. He must be an eyewitness. May I? We spent some time Sunday night looking on, I said, must be an eyewitness and an ear witness of Jesus' personal ministry, of Jesus' resurrection, and of Jesus' ascension. And we spent some time Sunday night answering important questions, good questions. And one of them is, was Paul an eyewitness of Jesus' ascension? We pointed out that Jesus Christ appeared to him, and that Jesus Christ went back to heaven. In a sense, he was. But there's another point to be considered in respect to Paul's apostleship. Let us run to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Where Paul, verse 7 and 8, talking about how he was brought to be an apostle of Christ.
After that, he was seen of James,
then
of all the apostles,
and
last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due season.
What does he mean, one born out of due season? This is talking about his apostleship, you know. And the word born out of due season, the word was used to describe an abortion. That's right. That is born out of due time. And this was referring, the term Paul used here was referring to the violent and the unnatural way or mode or method he was brought into the apostleship. That's exactly what is being discussed here. That is Paul becoming an apostle of Christ was not normal like the other apostle. That's what he meant. He was like one born before time. That's right. So, you will find a little variation. But Paul had to fit into all the important specifics that make an apostle of Christ. All of them. Man. I mentioned last week that the Holy Spirit, we're talking about apostles, the Holy Spirit was to clothe. The Holy Spirit was to garment the apostle with power. Power that no ordinary Christian had. Let us run now to another misunderstood passage. It is the passage of Mark chapter 16 and verse 14. Understood passage. I'm laughing. I swear that in 40-45 minutes today, the lesson will finish. And then, thinking of sharing these passages with you. Why? Because they are passages that those of us who are active in the large church, you are going to come upon them. You are going to have people out there reading them and twisting them. In fact, brothers and sisters, there is a great need for better understanding of God's word. Especially out there. Just this morning when Brother Blake came in for the pastor, I laughed because we're talking about some of these things. It's important that you make jotting because God is depending on you to teach the truth. He has nobody but us. Don't fail God. Yes, a misunderstood passage. Let us look at Mark chapter 16 from verse 14.
Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat.
Notice, he appeared unto the 11. Wait, let me write that on the board. He appeared unto the 11. That is the 11 apostles. Okay. Read, brother.
As they sat at meat.
As they sat at meat.
And upbraided them with their unbelief.
And upbraided them. May I? When the 11 apostles got news from Mary and others that he was resurrected, the 11 didn't believe it. That's what it means. He upbraided them for their unbelief.
And hardness of heart.
And hardness of heart.
Because they believed not them which had
seen
him.
Here you have it. Note. The subject under consideration here is the 11 apostles. Read on.
After he was risen, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
What? Wait. Watch here. You're at verse 15?
He that believeth, I'm at verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Brothers and sisters, in verse 15-16, we have one of the most instructive, should I call it, pronounced, instructive use of the pronoun, the singular pronoun. Jesus Christ when shifted 11 apostles, which is plural, to singular. Read verse 14 again. In fact, read verse 13, brother. Quick.
And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart.
That's right.
Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every
creature. Remember,
people.
You know, they upbraided them, refer to the 11 apostles, as I have said before. Read on.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These are singular. Notice in verse, I think, is it 14?
upbraided them for their unbelief. And there is another pronoun used there which is plural. I don't remember if it is.
Verse 15, and he said unto them.
Not the them. There is a ye somewhere there.
Go ye.
Go ye. Both the them and the ye are plural. Now, when he talked about he that believeth, he was not referring to the apostles. But those who would respond to the apostles' teaching. But now, this is going to get even better. Read verse 16.
He that believeth.
He that believeth.
And is baptized.
And is baptized.
Shall be saved.
Shall be saved.
But he that believeth not shall be damned.
Read on.
And these signs.
Wait now. Verse 17. Verse 17.
And these signs.
And these signs.
Shall follow them.
Wait. Wait. Watch here now. Oh Lord have mercy. Well let me stay there. Let me stay there. That's right. Let me circle. These signs. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? Miracle. These signs shall follow
them.
Them.
That believe.
Now, the antecedent of them. That is the word which went before the them and represent the them is the 11 apostles. The them in verse 17 is not talking about he that believes. He here are singular. The them is plural, just like the them here. So in verse 17 is still the 11 apostles. These signs shall follow them that believe. How can that be the apostle, Brother Mitchell? Because remember, he had to upbraid them, sort of correct them, set them straight in respect to what? Their unbelief. And he's telling them now, once their faith comes back, these signs shall follow them. Wait, not all believers, but the 11 that are under consideration. These signs shall follow them that believe. Read.
In my name, shall they,
shall hear again the they. The they is referring to the 11 apostles. Read on.
And they shall speak.
They, not he shall speak, not the converts of the apostles, but the apostles.
They shall take up serpents.
Shall take up serpents.
And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
Well, let me hold that because... Yes, brother, we are going way to verse 20, you know.
They shall lay hands on the sick.
Say.
And
they still have under consideration the 11 apostles. Read.
And they shall recover.
Uh-huh.
So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them...
Wait, unto them who?
The eleven
apostles. Read.
He was received up into heaven.
Uh-huh.
And sat on the right hand of God.
Uh-huh.
And they
who?
The 11.
The 11 apostles.
Went forth.
Uh-huh.
And preached everywhere, the Lord working with them.
Wait. Working with whom?
The 11.
The 11 apostles.
and confirming the word with signs and following. With signs following.
The passage, as O'Neill will tell you, because we both of us study with a gentleman, good gentleman, goodly gentleman. I'm looking forward. I've been telling O'Neill, I'm looking forward to having our third meeting with that gentleman. Not just this, with that gentleman. Because he's almost, while I think he's sincere, he's almost quarreling with Christ. That if this did not concern all Christians, why did he say then that believe? And the passage is making plain that the them that believe is limited to the 11 apostles. If you just read the context, you'll see. And the usage of the singular pronoun referring to Christians that would respond to the apostles' preaching. And that is singular. Why the pronoun that referred to the apostles keep being repeated in the plural? Two different audiences. Any questions you'd like to ask? Bring your friends. May I continue the lesson? May I? So, brothers and sisters, the apostles of Christ were ear witnesses and eye witnesses of the personal ministry of Jesus Christ, of the ascension of Christ, and of the resurrection of Christ. Now, look at 1 John chapter, well, look at Acts 5:32. 1 John 1:1-4. Let us have it.
And we are his witnesses of these things.
The "we" here does not refer to you and me. The "we" here refers to the apostle. We are
his witnesses of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so is also the Holy Ghost.
That's right. That's right.
Whom God hath given to them that obey him.
Okay, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4.
That which was from the beginning.
That was from the beginning.
Which we have heard, which we have seen with our
wait,
eyes.
Wait, Matthew, take that. Which what?
Which we have heard.
Which we, that we here doesn't refer to you and me. What John is doing here is personalizing their relationship with Christ. We heard him. And the implication here is not that we heard him indirectly. We heard him personally, which we have heard.
Which we have seen with our eyes.
You get it, brother? You get it? We have seen, you and I have not seen Jesus Christ with our eyes. No man today have seen Jesus Christ with his eye. No man or woman. Which we have seen with our eyes.
Which we have looked upon.
Which we have looked upon.
And our hands have handled.
You hear that? We hold Jesus Christ. In their many interactions with him, they handle Christ. Now that is witness. That is apostolic witness. No man since the first century can claim that. Only an apostle of Christ can claim that. What verse are you?
End of one.
Read on.
Have handled of the word of life.
The word of life. That's Jesus Christ.
For the life was manifested.
Uh-huh.
And we have seen it.
And we have seen the light.
and bear witness.
We are bearing witness of the life.
And show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard.
You notice how many times he's repeating about that which we have seen. Or that we have seen. What John is doing here is letting you know that apostle of Christ, they had been eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. Is that just clear? Read, brother.
That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you.
The person we saw, the person we heard, he is the one we are telling you about. And for our preaching, it's not second hand. We saw him. We handled him. We heard him. What verse is that?
Middle of 3.
Read.
That he also may have fellowship with us.
Mm-hmm.
And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
So brothers and sisters, they were in fact eye and ear witnesses to qualify them. But here is another point that qualify them apostles. They were chosen for any man or woman to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. You have to be personally chosen by Jesus Christ himself. Did I say personally? Yes. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? Other disciple could not choose you if you are going to be an apostle of Christ. That's one. Other apostles could not choose you. The church could not choose you. Christ had to personally himself choose you to be an apostle of his. No man since the first century can claim that an apostle of Christ had to be one who was personally, not indirectly, not chosen by other disciples, not chosen by the church, but by Christ personally to be an apostle of Christ. Let us, as Paul would say, what say the scripture on that? The first passage we look at is the book of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 30. The book of Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 24. The book of Acts chapter 9, 6 and 15 through 16. That is, they had to be personal.
And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12.
Chosen by Christ. Start again, brother.
And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples.
Wait. Brother Mitchell, what is between an apostle? A disciple is a learner or a follower. An apostle is one specially sent. Wait. You can be an apostle of the church, you know. That's right. I can be an apostle of the church. When the church sent me on a mission, a specific mission, I'm an apostle of the church. I am personally and specifically sent by the church. But I am not an apostle of Christ. Now, Christ sent me out, but indirectly through the Great Commission. That doesn't make me an apostle. For me to be an apostle of Christ sitting here, Jesus Christ would have to be in person. Not through his revelation, but in person. Choose me and send me out. So we are on the fact that the apostle had to be aligned the word. personally chosen by Christ. The brother is at the book of Luke chapter 6, did I say?
And verse 13.
Verse 13.
And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12.
Who did the choosing?
Christ.
Christ chose 12.
Whom he named apostles.
Y'all get it? Whom he named people that he's going to specially send out specially. Let us continue. Acts 1, verse 2 and verse 24.
Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen.
The apostle what?
Whom he had chosen.
Whom he, the easier mean he had personally chosen. No man after the first century is qualified by disqualification. No man or woman personally chosen. Verse 24.
And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen.
You notice this? Even in this peculiar situation, they could not just take up any one of the two men. The apostle. The Almighty God had given them directive. That of those men who have followed Christ in and out from the baptism of John, the apostle to take Judas's place will be selected from one of them. But notice, it's not the apostle who did the choosing. It is the Almighty God going to determine who the lot fell on. Huh? That was verse 24.
24, yes.
Well, go on then to chapter 9, verse 6 and 15 through 16. Read.
And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do.
That's verse 6.
Yes.
Okay, verse 15 and 16.
But the Lord said unto him,
But the Lord said unto Paul or Saul,
Go thy way.
Go thy way.
For he is a chosen vessel unto me.
Well, he was speaking to the preacher here who is going to convert Paul. He said, Go thy way, for
he is a chosen vessel unto me.
Everybody get that? It doesn't mean. Where the preacher name?
Ananias
did the choosing, not at all. Because had it been left up to Ananias, of all the people on earth, that would not be chosen, he saw.
Because Ananias would argue with God. God, you don't know that the man did not.
You don't know what wrong he has done to your church. How can you? So it's not Ananias that did the choosing, but the Almighty God. God said, He's a chosen vessel to me. Anything else in verse 15, 16?
To bear my name before
to
the Gentiles.
To bear my name
before the Gentiles.
Before the Gentiles.
And kings.
King.
And the children of Israel.
And before the children of Israel.
For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Y'all get it? Personally. Can we move on to another one? The apostles. The apostles are men that had to be personally taught by Christ. You get it? In fact, this is the word I need to underline, the word personally. And remember, personally means it's not in the region. Personally. personally taught by Christ. Brother Mitchell, I thought this is what you dealt with. No, we were saying they had to be personally. We are you, I have taught, I had chosen before. So this is another one. An apostle of Christ had to be a person that Jesus Christ in his person taught. Y'all got it? Everybody get that? Was I personally taught by Christ? No. Was the guy in Caesarea Cornelius? Was Cornelius personally taught by Christ? No. Was the Ethiopian eunuch personally taught by Christ? No. In all these cases, these prospective converts were sent to an earthen vessel. But not Paul, not any of the apostles. They, if you are going to be an apostle, you have to be personally. Jesus Christ in his person had to teach you. Again, I ask, what state the scripture? Look at John 14:26. And turn to Galatians chapter 1. Quick, brother.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Whom the Father will send in my name.
The Father will send the Holy Ghost in my name.
He shall teach you all things.
Wait, watch here. He whom the Holy Ghost shall teach you.
All things.
All things.
And bring all things to your remembrance.
Notice this now. The Holy Spirit going to strengthen your memory and bring back to your memory what?
Whatsoever I have said unto you.
That means, brothers and sisters, whatsoever I personally taught you. For those 3 years I was with you, all the things I taught you, the Holy Spirit going to bring it back to your memory. They had to be personal. No man or woman since the first century can claim that he or she was personally taught by Christ. In fact, listen to the Apostle Paul on that point. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 and 15 through 17. Let us have it.
But I certify you, brethren.
You brethren,
that the gospel which was preached of me...
You're getting it? I like how... That the gospel which I, Paul, preach... Go on, no brother.
Preach of me is not after man.
It's not after man. Wait. What's the other man that's going to come up here now? It's not after man.
For I neither received it of man.
I didn't receive it from man.
Neither was I taught it. But by the revelation.
Take time with me, no brother. Take time with me. I think the brethren here missed it. Not only did I not receive it of man, but I wasn't taught it by man either. You all get it? You don't need more than that. Paul is saying the apostles teach him the truth which he learned.
But by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
But by the Jesus Christ give me this teaching. You get it? That as an apostle, he had to be personally taught by Christ. Nobody since the first century can make that. You're not finished, brother. Read.
That was 12, verse 15.
15 through 17.
But when it pleased God.
When it pleased God.
Who separated me from my mother's womb. And called me by his grace. To reveal his son in me. That I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood.
Y'all got that? Everybody get that?
Wait. You need to get that. Paul is saying when he was called to his apostleship, he didn't go looking up the other apostles to learn from them. I confer not
with flesh,
with
and, blood.
Flesh and blood.
Neither went I up to Jerusalem.
Neither did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me.
To them which were apostles before me.
That's right.
But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus.
Y'all hear that? And from all indication, the Almighty God wanted him up in Arabia for a spell of time that God could, Jesus Christ could reveal truth to him and teach him there. So an apostle has to be one that was personally taught by Jesus Christ. You know, there's quite a few more things. I'll have to stop here. Let me just... Oh, Lord. Let me just briefly deal with this. Let me see, brothers and sisters. There are quite a few points, but I can deal only with one more point. And I want to deal with the fact that they were also taught by direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Direct. No man or woman today is inspired directly by the Holy Spirit. No man or woman. But you know what? I'm going to leave that and end with some of the powers of the apostle. Because it's important that, oh Lord, there are so many things. I just remember, bear with me, brothers. We are closing. I have to close. Let us run to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verse 14, following. Quick. Acts of the Apostles.
Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John.
May I? I don't want to come back to this lesson next week. When the apostles, I want you to get this and listen. When the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, may I? This received the word of God is a figure of speech. We call it synecdoche, which one word is used for the whole process of salvation. That received the word of God stands for hearing the word, believing the word, confessing their faith, repenting of their sin, and getting baptized. So when you read that they had received the word of God, it means that people in Samaria became Christians. Read.
Received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost.
Now, may I, brothers and sisters, may I have your attention, please? That they might receive the Holy Ghost is not referring to the indwelling measure. I want everybody to get this. How do I know? According to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 38. From you repent and get baptized, you receive the Holy Ghost. That is the ordinary measure, that is the indwelling measure.
When the passage of Romans chapter 9 and verse or 8, 9 says that if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you are none of His. It is telling you that from you become a child of God, the Holy Spirit is given to you. When Peter in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, I think 32, said that the Almighty God give the Holy Spirit to them that obey Him. That's the same thing, the indwelling ordinary measure. From you repent and get baptized, if you are Catholic, you receive the Holy Ghost. So what you are reading here in Acts chapter 8, verse 14 following, that, read it again.
Who when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the gift, receive the Holy Ghost.
That they might receive the Holy Ghost. Watch here now, read on.
For as
yet. For as yet. Wait. What does that mean? Up to this point,
He was falling upon none of them.
The term falling upon none of them does not refer to the indwelling measure. That's the term I think Peter used referring to the supernatural measure. So what is under consideration here? Up to this point they became Christian. They received the ordinary or indwelling measure. But they did not receive the miraculous measure which was given by laying on of the apostles' hand. Read. I said read.
As yet he has fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name
of
the Lord Jesus.
Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Brother Matthew, from they did that, they received the indwelling measure or the ordinary measure. Read.
Then laid they their hands on them. Laid
they whom? The apostles, their hands upon them.
And they received the
Holy Ghost. And they received
the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. Watch here now. Read now.
And when Simon saw that, that through the laying on of the apostles' hands.
Whose hand?
The apostles' hands.
Whose hand?
The apostles' hands.
Brothers and sisters, let me share something here with you. These people were not converted by any apostle. They were converted by who? Philip, the evangelist. Philip could perform miracle because the apostle had laid hands on him with other deacons when they were chosen in Acts of the Apostle, I think chapter 5 or 6. But Philip could not pass that power on. If Philip were able to pass that power on, the coming of the apostle from Jerusalem to Samaria would be useless. And Simon had never offered Philip, who converted him, money for this power. Prerogative of the apostle. Only an apostle could lay hands. You see, modern day preacher talk about lay hands. Receive the Holy Ghost. Oh my God, they are ignorant. They read something in the Bible and they do not understand it. Although the Bible makes it plain, only an apostle could do that. Not so much. Look. Quick. Acts chapter 2, 43. Quick. Acts 5, 12. Quick.
2 verse 43.
And
fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles.
By whom?
By the apostles.
Everybody get that? Please get it quick because I want to start preaching almost right now. Wonders and signs were done by whom?
The apostles.
Chapter 5, verse 12. Following.
And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among
by
the people.
By whom, Brother Webb?
By the hands of the apostles.
Brother Webb, you notice it didn't say by the hands of the disciples?
hands of the apostles.
By the hands of the Christian.
By the hands of the
by
apostles.
By the hands of the church.
Of the apostles.
By the hands of the apostles. Everybody get that? Look at verse 19.
But the angel of the Lord
chapter 5:19.
Yes.
But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life.
Okay, look at chapter 9, verse 37 through 40. Quick, brother.
And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom they had washed, then laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them.
Notice a miracle needs to be performed. Are we there? To raise Lydia, she was such a dear person in the church. They did not say, they had great Christian there. What is the city name again, brother, you just mentioned?
Joppa.
Many great Christians. But none of them could do this miracle. They had to send for an apostle. You all get it? Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Romans 1, 11.
For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established.
Brother Blake, if the Almighty God want to give the Christian of Rome supernatural or spiritual gift, why does it have to wait until Paul reached there? Because that's the implication there. Paul is implying that nobody at Rome had spiritual gift. He's further implying that he had to go there for them to get that gift. You know why? It was vested in the apostles of Christ. So when he said, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, it means without an apostle, nobody could get that spiritual gift. And the last passage. Many more to share, but this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 12:12.
Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you.
The signs of who?
An apostle.
Everybody get that? Brothers and sisters, this statement has meaning only if it means signs that are peculiar to an apostle. The word signs mean miracle. Miracles which only an apostle could do. Paul is saying, I am an apostle. He's saying it to the Corinthians because those miracles which can be performed only by an apostle of Christ were performed by me. Oh, thank you. If you are here today, the Almighty God has brought you here for you to be informed and enlightened on the subject. When you go out there and people talking, they are apostles of Jesus Christ. When you go out there and people lay hands on people and ask them what and what they pass unto them, you will understand that Paul, and if you cannot show them, bring them to the church of Christ. We would like to teach them so that they may know God's truth.